It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. And we want to welcome each one of you tonight. It's also good to have Brother Tony and Brother Cyril. They're no strangers to us. Amen. They've been with us for quite a number of visits. And they've inspired our hearts. Whilst we're just trying to get our computer settled, with Pastor Tony's computer, maybe Brother Cyril can come and just greet the church. And I've got you off guard. Come, Brother Cyril. If you could just come greet the church whilst we try and get our computer sorted out.
God bless the saints. It's a real honor and privilege to be here tonight, one more time in Durban, knowing that the Bride of Jesus Christ is assembled for service tonight. We're expecting great things, knowing that nothing is impossible with this great God we are serving, and it's so important to know who He is. I can truthfully say for 40 years, I was identified with this message, and I believe I knew the true God. Amen. The one God that created heavens and earth. And, you know, I was worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. Until the Lord opened my understanding to let me see who Jesus is. And the big question is, which Jesus are we serving? Are we serving Jesus the Son or Jesus the Father? And I begin to find out as a prophet, great Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. And I'm grateful and thankful tonight for this revelation. And I want to say that it's a real honor and privilege to come in an assembly that has, whose eyes of understanding has been enlightened to the revelation of this word that God has sent in this hour. For I believe we are not following cunningly devised fable, but I believe we are following the true revealed word of the hour. About 3 weeks ago, Brother Tony and myself, we left the United States to come this way. It was a great battle fight, you know, for us to get here. But by God's grace, we were able to come. And there were some brothers in Cape Town that invited us to come. And a few of them had been listening to the messages of Brother Tony. And it just so happened they decided to assemble together. And after about 7 days' services, the Holy Spirit just confirm His word in such a measure that quite a number of them wanted to be rebaptized correctly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, the prophet tells us, if you don't get your Godhead straight, then your baptism is going to be wrong. And many want to know, well, why we are rebaptizing the people. And we have a reason for doing that because of the revelation of the word. And it has caused a stir amongst many of the people. But you know, we are willing to go beyond the camps to bear the reproach for the word. And I believe that God is unfolding His word. By the time we left Cape Town, words is out. There's a little group of believers there now that is assembling together. They have come out from the different areas for a long time. They've been listening to the message. And some of them since 2009 while we were here for the first time, they begin to look into what is being said, especially Brother Tony and myself. I've been here before that, but you know, we are grateful that these brethren are pressing on. And you know, seeing the apostolic order that God has placed and the gift that God has placed in the life of Brother Tony, that he's able to bring the quotes, the golden nuggets, to let us see what the messenger has brought. For when he began to identify, you know, the scriptures that what God did 2,000 years ago, you know, about 2,700 years ago when he sent Elijah on the scene, you know, Elijah was the only true worshiper, you know, a prophet of that hour that believed in the true one, true and living God, you know, and there was a showdown with the prophets of Baal, but then God told Elijah, said, Elijah, there's 7,000 that haven't bowed their knees to Baal. And you know, so if Elijah, about 2,700 years ago, had a Baal to face, and you know, a Jezebel and an Ahab, I believe, you know, in this hour that we are living in, God has sent Elijah again. And he had confronted the priests of Baal, and I believe that 7,000, we are part of that. That has not bowed our knees to the Baal worship, you know, the twins and the message. So, brothers and sisters, I believe we have a message in this hour that we are speaking very, very plain. And, you know, it has caused a lot of stir. Brethren has branded us as believing in two gods, you know, and brothers that I've fellowshiped with for a long time, you know, they just cut me off and said, you know, you're preaching two gods. And I said, brothers, show me in the Bible, show me in the Word where I'm preaching two gods. You know, and it is they are the one that believe in two gods. But I believe God, the great eternal, the great Jehovah, he had a son. And he came and manifested himself. The invisible God had to have a visible manifestation. So the son is the only one that had declared him, you know. He was in the bosom of the Father. And Jesus Christ said, it is not me that doeth the work, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. So he gave God glory, and I'm grateful that the prophet messenger to our age pointed us to that one true living God. And as a result, you know, I've been to many countries, I preach, and I begin to understand that, you know, I did not have this full revelation, and it's my duty, I believe, to go back to these countries and, you know, correct the things that has gone into error. You know, we did it ignorantly, but I believe if you're a seed of God, the prophet of God said, a true seed does not practice sin. He that is born of God doth not commit sin. Then he shows the three areas that sin, you know, is manifested in. Don't misinterpret, don't, you know, misplace the word, and don't misinterpret the word of God. You know, don't misinterpret, don't misplace or dislocate the word of God. And I believe the little bride of Jesus Christ in this hour is following that word. And I'm thankful for the ministry that has been introduced to us now. And after speaking here in Cape Town, we went to Namibia, where we had been there in the year 2012. And we wanted to meet with the ministers there first and talk with them about this message. But words went ahead of us, and many of them, you know, the preachers, they made promises. They never came out to hear what we had to say, but they begin to pass judgment and say we are believing in two gods. And brother and sister, you know, they have to face God and they have judgment. But a little group that came out, I met a group of people in 2 years' time or 3 years' time. They are so firm on the word. They've been listening to, streaming into the messages of Brother Tony. And they are really established as a group of believers. They're very poor in this world, materialistic things, but they are very rich in God, in the revelation of the word, in the message of the hour, with a true understanding that the Holy Spirit has given us. So we believe and we feel very honored to be here with them. And we didn't want to leave us. We didn't want to leave, but we realized that the gospel must be preached in other places, and we were able to come in here yesterday and meet him with Brother Louis. I met him a couple of months ago in the United States, and we drove down from South Carolina down to Orlando, Florida, and spent a week there with these brethren and had some wonderful, wonderful services. And I know you brethren are blessed to have a minister like this, because, you know, for the first time I heard him preach. And I thought, my, what a mighty soldier, what a mighty preacher. And I wanted all my friends and relatives to have a copy of that tape, you know, because from Durban here, we have someone that is standing for the full revealed word of the hour. We really, really enjoy and appreciate it. So I want to say that it's an honor and privilege to be here. I don't want to take up too much of the time, but I believe we have some time to be with you. And as time goes on, we'll fellowship and share some of the things that are happening. But the Lord has allowed us for the past year to go to some of the countries that the Lord allowed me to go, meet ministers, preach the word of God to them. But when I begin to recognize the gift that God had placed, you know, because there's not very many apostles in this message, but you know, I believe that those that are true apostles, they set things in order. And after being with Tony for a long while, recognizing that gift, I felt an urgency to take him to some of these places. And we had been to the country of Guyana. And I have a couple of churches there that many of the brethren, you know, they see this truth. And we were privileged to baptize them according to the word of God with a revelation. Because the prophet, as he said, you know, he was not oneness. And when he preached the message, Feast of the Trumpet, he said, away from your oneness baptism. So we know the true God that we are serving. And not only in Guyana, we were able to have some services there, but then there's another little island called Barbados. And as we ministered the word of God there, that's the place the enemy really got angry after baptizing the two pastors from the two different churches, and they wanted us to one church wanted us to rebaptize all their believers. So we did that, and then the other church, the pastor, after Brother Tony presented the true name of God and showed that Jehovah of the old is Jesus of the new, and showed us, you know, the Son inherited the Father's name, and just brought the truth out. By this minister could not stand it. He'd been in the message for 30 years. He called us, that was Friday, but Tony ministered. But my Saturday morning, he wanted to be rebaptized. And a couple of ministers from his assembly. So it was just such a privilege, such an honor to do that. So I believe God is blessing our efforts as we begin to travel on to different places to minister the word of God. So we count it an honor and a privilege to stand with you and to believe the true message that the prophet brought to us. You know, he was excommunicated by the denomination. They dropped him when he began to bring his doctrine. As long as he preached divine healing, everybody wanted him. The first pull, second pull, everybody wanted him. But when he began to declare the word of God, they began to drop him. When he began to bring the doctrines that the Bible spoke about, they began to tell him, if you do not withdraw these doctrines, then we will not have no fellowship with you. We'll draw a circle and draw you out. And you know, brother and sister, recognize that same spirit. Is not in the denomination any longer. Satan is not going to leave this message alone. Satan will come and walk his way right in the message. And we realize that, you know, because every revival produces twins. And if this is the seventh thunder revival, I believe that there's a twin somewhere around. And grateful that we'll recognize who they are, because you see, I believe, as even the Bible said in the book of Revelation, there were those that called themselves apostles, but they were from the synagogues of Satan. So those that had the revelation was able to bring this truth out. So we want to say one more time, we appreciate you. We are grateful. We don't believe in coincidence or chances. I believe God has ordained for us to come here to be with you tonight. And I believe that what you're going to hear tonight is the meat of the word. Because the prophet of God said we must go deeper. He said the eagle, if he don't find what he's looking for in this valley or in that valley, he's going to dig until he finds it. And I believe that if we are part of that great Jehovah eagle, by his seed, we're going to dig until we find the truth of God's word. So we want to say, God bless you. We appreciate you. Thank you for praying for our ministry. And like I said, really appreciate Brother Louis and his family. Kindness they have shown to us and all you brethren for praying for us. And the kindness that you have shown to us, we want to say, we appreciate that. And you know, not even a cup of cold water will not be rewarded. So many of you may not give us a cup of cold water, but I know you've been praying for us. And your prayer means so much, because that is what the prophet said. You know, he don't want materialistic things. He said, I want your confidence. I want you to believe in what I'm saying. And I want to just encourage you tonight. You're going to hear what Brother Tony says. And it's not Brother Tony's idea. You know, they said we are following a man, but I believe this is the God's idea that he placed in the prophet, and he laid it out there. And now these supernatural truths, the supernatural element, God has anointed the apostles to bring this truth out. So we want to say that it's a pleasure to be able to sit under ministries like this, and thankful to God for he has allowed me. Like I said, after 47 years being in the message, the last 3 or 4 years, my understanding has been enlightened and open to this truth. And the enemy has fought it as long as I was worshiping, you know, the unknown God and the creation. Many of my brethren wanted me. But when I begin to declare that this Jehovah of the old is Jesus of the new, they did not know which Jesus they are serving. But I'm grateful we know the true Jesus. Yes. Amen. There's a true Jesus and there's a false Jesus. There's a true gospel, there's a false gospel. There's a true spirit and there's a false spirit. But I believe, as Paul tells us, you know, he wanted to present that early church as a chaste virgin. And he found out there was another spirit, another gospel, and another Jesus. And if that is what happened in the beginning, I believe spirit don't die. In the end time, in the Alpha ministry, in the Omega ministry, we have the same spirits we are fighting. So God bless you tonight. And we love and we appreciate you.
Thank you. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Let's all stand together as we appreciate tonight. I give a little testimony, words of encouragement. We're going to sing "Only Believe All Things Are Possible" as our dear Pastor Tony graced the pulpit. Only
Father God, we are thankful tonight to stand here identified with believers, identified because we believe, because someone you sent, Lord, that you anointed to speak, and faith cometh by hearing. And Lord, faith is the action and believing is the consequence of hearing, O God. We are thankful, Father, that we can be identified, Lord, as hearers and as believers, and as doers of that which we have heard. We gather here because it's your provided way, and the gifts that you have sent, Lord, we know that it's not of man, but it's of thee. Therefore, Lord, we honor the gift, and therefore we ask you now to come and anoint the gifts, O Lord, and that your children might benefit from it tonight. Remembering that we are gathered here, Lord, on the time, realizing the possibilities of man's and their failures and insufficiencies. Electricity might go on different things, but help us, keep us calm, and Lord, keep us focused on the things that you have need of us tonight. We ask your grace upon the hearer, upon the speaker, and may you be honored, Lord, tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you tonight. I want to reserve some of my time and greetings for Sunday, and I know that we have some limited time that we would be able to press in, but God bless you all. It's happy to be here tonight. If you have your Bibles, I invite you quickly to the book of Luke chapter 10 and the 21st verse. And I want to speak on two subject areas that I believe Pastor Louis was just asking me to maybe just rehearse a couple of things about it, and I just thought I would do that tonight. Good to see each and every one of you. Okay. All right. And the 21st verse, if it's okay with you. And at that hour, Jesus rejoiced and said, I thank thee, Father. I want you to listen very carefully. I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. So right then and there, we identify who is the Lord of heaven and earth. That thou did hid these things from the wise and prudent. And we realize it's God that hides himself, reveals himself in simplicity, and has revealed them unto babes, and of course we are the babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. This is the Son of God acknowledging God as heaven, the Father as heaven, of heaven and earth, acknowledging he is the one who hides, he is the one who reveals, according to his good own pleasure. And all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he whom to whom the Son will reveal him. You may be seated tonight. I'd like to speak, if I may, on two scriptures Luke 10:22, and also Matthew 28:19. And I'll start here. What I want to show that to really understand and completely understand the greatest revelation in the Bible, capstone revelation, you need to understand laws and principles. You cannot think linear. You cannot think logic or reasoning or putting quotes together and reasoning together. It never works with that. God is a God of order, and the way that God operates is through laws. Laws and principles. The laws of irrigation, the laws of electricity, the laws of physics, the laws of biology, the laws of chemistry. And that is why man is able to study the behavior and pattern of things and use certain laws. Logic and reasoning never comes by. In fact, it leads you further away from God. Human logic, human reasoning, human deduction. So it goes here now in expectation. Now I stand here declaring the creator of heavens and earth, Jehovah God. Now that's exactly what the scripture says, that he is Lord of heaven and earth. And it goes on to say, I claim to be a representative of his in these last days to bring faith to his church. And here stands a woman by me, and if I tell the truth, God vindicate my words truth. My words truth. If I do not tell the truth, he will have nothing to do with me. Any man can say anything. But if God speaks of it and says it's true, then you believe the truth. And says the truth, then you believe the truth and you believe God. Now notice what he said there. You believe what I say, and then that is believing God. I'm speaking, but if you believe it, it is God speaking. You believe God. There's no other way to believe God. You say, I believe the Bible. You've had it for a long time. The Methodists believe the Bible. The Protestants believe the Bible. But without the representative, the God-sent representative, you will never hear God speak. That's how God speaks. He speaks through chosen representatives. And then as you believe that. Now, if you have your Bible, I'll also invite you to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. And if you would read the 21st verse, I'm going to ask Brother Cyril to, if he would invoke doing it, unless they can go back and forth without me. I don't know the setup here quite, Brother Louis. But Luke, 1 Peter 1:20-21. And you'll see this principle written in it's a very powerful principle. If you learn this principle, a lot of other things unfolds to you. Other laws unfolds to you. Verily, verily, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Who by him do believe in God? Who by the Son of God do believe in God? So if we believe in the Son of God, because you can't believe in an invisible God, unless he makes himself known or identify himself, and that's what he did thoroughly in his Son. Who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. And that's the only way. They say, oh my goodness, you believe in William Branham. Well, there are three principles from this that I would like to get to you. If you are going to take a rapture, if you are going to enter into that third pull, if you are going to be caught up in the mystery of that seventh seal, it takes this principle solely, completely, a people who is convinced in that principle to enter into that seventh seal. And there are the three avenues is this, that the minister of God, the pastor of this church, under apostleship, under true apostleship, becomes a man who propagates the messenger and the message that when William Branham spoke, it was Jesus speaking. Knowing that whatever Jesus spoke, he said, I got all my doctrine from my Father. So what Jesus spoke is what God spoke. You must be so convinced that what Brother William Branham spoke was Jesus speaking. Was the Son of God. Not God so much as the Son of God. We normally bypass many rules. And we say when William Branham spoke, God spoke. That's true. That's very true. But we have many steps. The messengers that are sent to the Gentile church are sent under the authority of the Son of God. Like you see, Matthew 28:19, it says, all authority is given unto me under heaven and earth. And if there's going to be any ministry, it's going to be under the Son of God. And any ministry that the Son of God is in control of, it's because God is being in control. Because He has preeminence in His Son. And His Son will not use that authority outside except to glorify His Father. And the people and the servants and the fivefold ministry, true fivefold ministry, will not do anything like William Branham but to glorify the Son of God. Is that true? So that's the first principle, is that that minister, that pastor of that church must be able to convince you by scriptures, by the Spirit of God, by the taking the ministry of Brother Branham and taking it back into the Bible and showing you the things that has happened, that it is that it is a biblical sign. It is a true sign. That when he says, Brother Branham says, you have no question to say Jesus said, which is a saying God said. And when that is thoroughly sown in the heart of a people, then nobody could move you with whether a vision came to pass or didn't come to pass. Or this was said and it never did happen, or that was said. You are so thoroughly convinced because that minister has taken and shown you that no man can do these things lest God be with him. And that God vindicated a man through power and through two signs that no man has done for 2,000 years. And that your faith in the messenger is based on God's approval of him by coming down, identifying himself in power and in presence, and nobody can move you. Whether you understand it or not, you know, I'd rather stick with it, let him answer for it, than I answer for myself or any other man that God has never vindicated. Because we are living in the age where sin looks like righteousness in the message. That's why it says the deceivableness of unrighteousness. I better read these quickly. If I get them out to you, then I can elaborate, even in the dark. All right, the second step. Oh, I forgot. Second step. The second step is that over the years and over a time, whether you come from a church that was abusive, whether you come from a pastor that misused his authority, or he wasn't a pastor, or he was in the wrong place, or he just doesn't know. But you have got to come to a place that when the pastor speaks, because he has shown over and over, he will not leave that message. Whatever he says is in that message. Whatever he presents can go back in the message, can go back in the Bible. That when he speaks, eventually it comes to such a place that what Brother Louis says is what Brother Branham said. And what Brother Branham said is what Jesus said. And what Jesus said is what God said. Unless you can come to such a faith in that man and that ministry, you are never ready to enter into that third pull. Because you will always be shepherding yourself. I am guaranteed when Brother Louis presented Godhead and different aspects, not everybody in this church is going to take a rapture. In fact, it's too much. People. You can't preach one in a million and not be realistic. Which means there are many who are here that dress like you, act like you, talk like you, that are not converted. Which also means that there will be them who will not be able to follow these concepts. They will be confused. And they really can't understand it because it's not by logical reasoning. You've got to have gene. Now I know a lot of times when I say things it's very hard. But weigh them and see if it be not true. My church, I'll tell them the same. It's too much. The only comfort we have is this. If they don't fight against it, if they are pleased to live with that husband, the Bible said, don't put them away. Isn't that true? You're quiet. Sometimes the gospel calls you to really examine yourself. Do not listen to the opinions of sheep. It's unimportant. It's out of order. But you should take your concern to the shepherd and the elders. Because only then and there can he show you by the word that you are judging the word from a sheep level. He is speaking from a gift level. And you are never able to come up to this. Because you can't jump higher than him. And then sheep who, people who act like sheep but might not be converted, they use themselves for the measuring stick to measure the ministry. You see what I'm saying? It's like the policeman judging the judge. Who will know more of the law? The judge, wouldn't he? So you always, I say that because you are planning to enter into the third pull. You're planning to enter in to things, listen carefully, that are not that it's not written in the word, but it's hidden the word. That even the prophet himself didn't even know. How can you enter in there? Where are you going to prove? How are you going to prove it? If you have not proved that the shepherd, that everything he taught from the very beginning, that he's a man who stays with the word. And when something he taught is not clear and not right, might not be balanced or might be even be wrong, he comes right back to you and says, we didn't see it right. Because until you have that relationship between shepherd and sheep, your relationship between shepherd and sheep tells you your relationship, how close you are to God and Christ. That's the only way to measure it. You are not ready for the third pull because the third pull is asking you, because it's things, hidden things, concepts that no other age could have understood. How are you going to get there? Because faith cometh by hearing. If you don't trust the man, but the man hasn't proved that what he speaks is what William Branham said, what William Branham spoke is what Jesus said is what God said, you'll never get there. Because there are many of you that will not go because you still have the idea of shepherding. That's why if you come from an abusive church, it's hard, like a woman come from an abusive relationship, it's hard to trust another man. It's hard. So you say, what can I do, Brother Tony? Work on the second part. God, help me to trust. Show me that this man cares for my soul. Because until that happens, you'll never ever become to believe. You see, I believe, Brother Branham. Yeah, that is easy. That's yesterday. What about today? The one that comes, because God don't ever leave his servants. Other servants come to replace them. I stand as a servant of Almighty God. My sins are gone through the blood of Jesus Christ by divine faith that I have in him as the Son of God. And I claim, and the Bible claims first, and I speak as the Bible, that he spoiled every power that you ever had at Calvary. And the Bible claims that his disciples are to carry this commission that he had here on earth to end up to the end of the age. And I am his disciple. Therefore, this morning I come as a representative of Jesus Christ in his actions. I am sent in his place. Now, this principle doesn't stop with Brother Branham. If you are coming to this church, and I'm not saying this church, I know sometimes it seems like it's really hard on the spirit. It's because you have acknowledged a shepherd's gift and that he represents William Branham. Otherwise, you wouldn't come here. And if you have such confidence, then you're ready. Anytime that church, that elect, gets to a place where that they have such confidence at what that man says, is what Brother Branham would say. You say, Brother Tony, what if he is false? That's a good question, isn't it? What if he's false? Then it's your fault, not his fault, you're here. Then it's your fault that you're under false ministry. It's not the man who is false for you to be there. Because nobody chooses to or tells you where to go. What it does tell you is that you have a gene here that has an affinity to error. And it will always unite with people with error. But if this gene has an affinity to truth, I guarantee it will take you through. That's how you're going to take a third poor rapture. When that second phase of believing that man of God who is ordained to take you through has come to such a place that there's no difference in what he teach but what Brother Branham teach, and it comes to such a place where you don't even search your Bible because what Brother Branham said is Bible. Isn't that right? Come to such a place when the shepherd teaches, you have such confidence that's in the word. It's in the message somewhere. I'm at rest. I'm at peace. I can eat it. I don't have to worry. I don't have any indigestion problem. I don't have any worrying in the night. Then you're ready for God to anoint any man of God, any pastor, to take him into the deeper things of God. Because to enter into the deeper things of God will take a people who have confidence. Because while he is going in there, you'll say, my, I never saw that. And you'll get a little afraid. But I know the shepherd, he's okay. Because I'm guaranteed, when a shepherd is going into these greater truths of Godhead, some of you say, where is he going? What is he doing? Because you cannot see at the same time the things that he is seeing and what God is revealing. And anytime you think you are, then you are shepherding yourself in a measure. You are afraid. You are fearful. You are not seeded. And when I mean not seeding, you are not teachable. Because the gene is not there. You are afraid. Whatever. I want you to notice this. He says, I'm sent in his place. Do you believe that? That Brother Branham represents Jesus Christ on the earth. The Son of God. You say, I thought he represents God. Yeah, we bypass a lot of principles. And that is true too. But first of all, he represents. You say, how do you know that? Well, how much horns does the lamb have? Seven. How many stars on his right hand? Seven. So that means the seven messengers is the power and authority of the Lamb, which is the Son of God on the earth. Right? Whenever I call, what and whenever I call over the person, your power will break. And the people will be free and go out of here and get well. I challenge you in the name of Jesus Christ. In his blood I stand. And you leave every person who I lay hands upon. Not in my holiness, not in my name. For my name is nothing to you. My holiness is nothing. I have done. But you won't recognize my name, but you'll recognize Jesus. And you're going to come out. And I'm speaking to you. I go now in a challenge, and if you try to hold any of these people, and may the curse of God come upon you. The first principle is the pastor must present the messenger the message in such a way that when the messenger speaks, you know it's Jesus speaking, which is know what is God speaking. The second, the messenger, when he speaks, when he teaches, it is as if Brother Branham has spoken. You see no difference between your pastor and your messenger. You have to come to such a place. And you say, well, what if he's wrong? Then he'll answer for you. But if you are wrong on your own, who's going to answer for you? Think about it. There's another principle. You say, Brother Tony, what if he's wrong? Then it is your fault. Because that gene chose to sit there. Nobody's holding you. Nobody's keeping you. You see? Second great fold. And then we serve as ambassadors. That's someone who represents someone when they are not here. Is that right? They take the place of someone in a country to represent that country. We are ambassadors or for Christ. The word for in the Greek also represents substitution. I'm standing in for that person. That's substitution, isn't it? And it goes on, as though God were appealing through us. In other words, we stand here in representation for Christ. And when we are speaking as Jesus, as if God through Christ is appealing to you to come to Him. That's what our scripture says. We implore you on Christ's behalf, or instead of Christ, to be reconciled to God. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that wherein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul is saying, hey, look, you know what? I am standing instead of Jesus. And I want to speak boldly. You see? And wherein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, in this quote here, the prophet said, now the anointing of the Holy Spirit is on me. Now it is, I don't know how long I'm going to stand tonight, because it's that weakened me. But now there isn't a thing but what our Heavenly Father could reveal at this time, friend. That's exactly true. The first thing I want you to believe with all your heart, that God is here present to make known His deeds among the people. You believe that? Almighty God, great Jehovah, who went down into the fiery furnace. Remember, the fourth man who looks like the Son of God. When you use the word Son of God, does not literally mean the Son of God. It's another title of the Holy Spirit. The children of Israel down there in that hot place and moved in and talked to the people. And I pray thee in Jesus Christ's name that you'll help this poor woman who is standing here. What is he doing? God has come down and he represents the Son of God. And just like God came down and used Christ, if this man is representing Christ, he will do the same thing. We must see Brother Branham as the replacement for Jesus Christ. And we must see that pastor as a replacement of Brother Branham. Because there must be no difference between the ministry. I don't know if I can receive that, Brother Tony. Then you will never enter in. Because that third pull, you must have complete confidence in your pastor husband. Your relationship with him must come to such an intimacy that you know that your souls are knitted with him, and that he cared so much for you that he would rather die than mislead you. You say, why are you bringing this line? Just give me a minute, you would see. Now, thou deaf spirit, you are a devil, a demon that has entered this woman's ear to stop them up. And I come as a servant of Jesus Christ, as his. So any here, Brother Bram said, Jesus Christ is standing here. Jesus Christ is here. He is telling you, he is, but by the law of representation. Because the Son of God cannot be in two places at the same time. He cannot forever be living, making intercession and be here at the same time. He is here by representation. To his people, to represent him to the people. All right? If that be true, listen carefully again. But ye have not so learned Christ. So, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now, this is the Ephesian church. Jesus died in AD 33. They didn't start until AD 53. How can they have heard him? How can they have so learned Christ? How can they have heard him and been taught by him? They heard him and they were taught by him. Because Paul represents Jesus Christ to them. That is literally what he's saying. If you've been taught by Jesus, if you have heard him and have been taught by him, but you say, how? Paul is asserting the law of representation that I am Jesus Christ to you. And he taught you and you have heard from him. It's a law of representation. It's one of the most important laws that you must learn. You say, can you put it to use for me, Brother Tony? Yes, we're going to put it to use in Godhead. Listen carefully. Galatians 4:13. You know how through infirmities of the flesh I preached I preach the gospel unto you at first, that my temptation or my weaknesses, which was in my flesh, he despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Paul said, you receive me just as you receive Jesus Christ. As a messenger of Christ, I stand in his stead. And that is how he was able to speak. They were able to hear him and be taught of Christ. Can you not say the same thing for William Branham? That Jesus taught you and you have heard of Jesus? Well, can that not come down? You see, somehow we have respects of person. God gave gifts unto men. That was a gift in Brother Branham. Don't you think God gave gifts in the fivefold? But because of men like Swaggart and because of men in this message with polygamy and all different kinds of foolishness, and that doesn't change the fact that the pattern is still true. And unless you come to such a faith in your ministry that it is a gift of God and it is a true sign, you will never ever enter into that third pull on the greater truths, because your human ability to judge the word is not there compared to them who are called to be lawyers and judges and doctors, which is the ministry. That's what the ministry is. They were doctors and lawyers and teachers. And because it is said so many times by foolish people, small men with big hopes of reputation, we have the message, I'll search it out. If you could search out a message and get what a true fivefold can get, God was foolish. Because he said the mysteries are divinely revealed truth, divinely by a prophet, but still contains a supernatural element despite the revelation. That element will never give up to a lay member. If it did, you don't need to come to church. What I'm trying to do, I'm trying in two folds. One, to see if you can see the pattern of representation, and I can show you, then you will just drop it. Your whole weight will drop from you, because there's someone to represent you. You see? And that is the one who will present you to the messenger of the age. Second thing. So now I've learned that thought. You've learned that thought, and we have kind of come here now to this fact. He that heareth you, heareth me. Well then, Paul, when they heard Paul, they were hearing Jesus Christ teach them. They were taught of him. They heard of him and they were taught of him. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. If you have a God called pastor, and not only Brother Louis, I'm just speaking on general, it might be recorded, but I need a copy for my church. Then what happens? To despise them. To have an attitude. Because you will not follow protocol. That's why, brother, you should never, if you have an opinion, take it to your shepherd. Don't take your opinion to other people. Never do it. I teach my people this, you see. And this is going to help prepare a church, Brother Louis, for third pull. You see, we're in it. There are some aspects of it. But I guarantee when we start entering there, it will not. That message is going to look in such a way that you never thought it was the same message. What does the mind of God look like? What does it look like? Well, I guarantee it doesn't look like the human way of thinking. Because when the prophet entered there, he said, I've worked in the realms of the supernatural like I've never worked before. He said, what is that supernatural? He said, when the mind of Christ comes in, he said, that's the supernatural. It's away from human thinking and reasoning and logic and human deductions and all of that. Yet it's still true. Follow. These principles are listed in John 10:40, John 12:44, he that heareth you heareth me, John 12:48, when you see me, you see the Father, John 13:20, and 1 Thessalonians 4:8. We don't have the time. Nowadays, they're so. We don't believe in saying hell in the pulpit. Oh, mercy, so blah. We need men of God, men who won't hold back. Now, everybody can't be a preacher, but you've got a voice. And if you can preach to people a sermon, if you're a preacher, you call to the pulpit to preach. If you're not, you're still a preacher, but live the sermon, Let your sermon be lived, and it's the voice of God that will bring reproach to them who reject it. They say no one can put a finger on his or her life. The sweet living, so forth. All right, I'm going to skip a little bit. This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God. He's tying eternal life in the end time, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me. I have glorified thee on the earth. So there is an earthly ministry for the Son of God. Now we know that there is a heavenly ministry, which is the priesthood. He was anointed at the Jordan. Then when he died, he was anointed again to preach to souls in prison. And before he went up to heaven, he was anointed again to become high priest. So there is a work that he gave him to do on the earth that's finished. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me thou with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So we know that. We know there's the question about it, does he still have an earthly work? Yes. True ambassadors. Through the seven stars on his right hand. That's the Lamb earthly work continuing by the law of representation. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou givest to me. So now, I have manifested thy name. And the name means I showed them who is a healer. I showed them who is a discerner. I showed them who is the teacher. I showed them who is the supernatural. That's how he manifested that name, you see. And he kept on saying, it's not I that do it, the work. So I'm showing them, see, unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. Thine they were. So this scripture here goes back to Isaiah 9 and 6. Unto us a son is born. A son is given, is that right? And the government shall be on his shoulder. His name, not his name is wonderful. His name shall be called wonderful. Counselor. You see, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. Mighty God, Mighty Prophet, to do what? To reveal the Almighty God. Prince of Peace, to reveal Melchizedek, the great prince. You see, government on his shoulder to show that God has given him power and authority over the earth. So he manifested that. That thou givest me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things what thou hast given to me are of thee. So we know everything that God has given, the Son possesses, inherits, comes from the Father. We know that. For I have given unto them the words which thou givest me, and they have received them, and I have known surely that I came from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. And I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine. They are thine, but you see, we belong to God, but God gave us to Christ. I'll give you the heathen for inheritance. Now this is important because they say all mine are thine and thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. Notice the key word. Not you are glorified in them, Father. I am glorified in them. So Luther come to glorify the Son of God. Wesley, the Son of God. And when the Son of God is glorified, God is glorified. You believe that? All right, continue. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. So you cannot bear them, but I want to say them to you. How am I going to say it? Howbeit when he, the Holy Spirit, has come. Now, who is that? That's a prophet. When he, the Spirit of Truth, has come. The Spirit of Truth always comes in the form of a prophet. So this is the ministry of Brother Branham here. He will guide you into all truth. Right? Now watch the key. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. This is the ministry of Brother Branham. Now watch what he's going to do. Let's go. Let me go back here. And I am glorified in
them. I am glorified. So the Son of God is going to be glorified in the ministry of Brother Branham, because Brother Branham is going to glorify the Son of God. Follow now. He shall... That's Brother Branham. Because he is standing as Jesus, the Son of God on the earth. Not saying it's I. Not taking any credit, but standing there just like Jesus stood. And let God use him to discern the thoughts and lead him and guide him and teach him. But the key to the whole thing is this. I have many things to say. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So this ministry of the Spirit of Truth, the prophet, is coming to represent the Son of God, to finish tell you things that he could not tell the early church. You believe that? To tell them things that he had not told the early church. Again, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine. Because why? He is representing the Son of God on the earth. And shall show it to you. All things that the Father had a mind. Therefore I said, he shall take of mine. He will take my ministry. He will take my position. He will stand as if he is me. And shall show it to you. And then, watch now, a little while he shall see me no more. And again, a little while he shall see me. Because I go to the... So he goes to the Father. But yet, when this ministry comes, you will see as if it's the Son of God right here. You can't tell the difference. But yet, it is the law of representation. He's standing in the stead. You say, what can that do for me, Brother Tony? Without this law, you will never understand this next scripture. All things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. And who the Father is but the Son. And to he whom the Son will reveal him. But the Son is not here to reveal him. Because this is the age of the unveiling of God. And the Son cannot come down. But if the Son is represented by William Branham, then the Son is revealing the Almighty God. Did he not preach the unveiling of God? The mighty God unveil? Who is this Melchizedek? The greater than Solomon is here now. The unrecognized presence of God. Who do you say this is? Who is Jesus? Well, who do you think is revealing? If did the Son come down to reveal the Father today? Well, that's what those people think out there in the message. The only way that the Son reveals the Father is by having the messenger William Branham to represent him as the Son of God. And through that ministry of the Son of God, anointed to fulfill the ministry of Son of Man, the Son will reveal him. The law of representation. And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding. How did he come? Did he come down from heaven? Because when the Son came, he did not reveal the Father. That's why Paul had to go through and document these great mysteries. But the unveiling of God never came clear until this end time. When Paul wrote Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, nobody knew in the seven church ages that was Jehovah. And we know that the Son of God has come and had given us to understand that we may know him that is true. When will this scripture be fulfilled? Not in our day. The Son of God there represents the Holy Spirit coming to identify itself in a man that will represent the ministry of the Son of God. Because to whomsoever the Son will reveal him to. We are even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. I'll do these on Sunday. All right. I've got a second set of notes in there. The lights didn't go, Brother Louis. Ooh. Can I slow down then? Amen. How do I get the second set of notes? Okay. So the law of representation is an important law and principle in understanding many, many great truths, understanding sin, understanding righteousness, justification, understanding many great principles of... let me give you a good example. Let us go. Can you control back there? Let us go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereby we have heard that it should come. And even now already is in the world. Now, is that scripture past tense? Without the law of representation, this scripture means nothing. Because John 3:20 tells me, 13:20. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. Is that right? All right. Whosoever I send, whosoever receiveth whom I send, receiveth me. So the me there is Jesus Christ in representation. All right. Now we know, verily I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Can we just make some turns? Let's go to John 12:44. Let's look at them. I'm sure that you know them. I just want to kind of set this up for Matthew 28:19. Okay. And Jesus Christ, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but believeth on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. This principle is Godhead principle. He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that... To believe on the Son of God is to believe in God, the invisible God. In fact, faith in the Son of God is the first commandment. I'll let you sell this back half price. John 13:20. So, now, let's just look at John 12:48. He that rejecteth me, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, had one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You see? Okay, so you're looking here as the judge, being based upon your attitude towards the message and the messenger. Now, we normally leave this up way up there with the messengers of the age. That comes all the way down to the local pastor. If a congregation can learn this, oh, what reverence and respect. And that will breed a church that's ready to move from that second phase of what that pastor says as is if Brother Branham says. And that is why they will begin to hate you, call you a cult. You're going to be Louisites. It must come that way. That is why Timothy was following Paul in such a way that they were making it embarrassing for him, because they almost wanted him to be ashamed of his father in the gospel.
You see? And he said, be not ashamed of me. In fact, but pattern yourself after me. That is what it will come to. I have an old deacon. He never finished school, but he is a wise old man and he loves the Lord and filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says, every frog croaks for his own pond. Is that right? That's the truth. If you got a good pond, you ought to croak. Don't be ashamed of it. Be grateful. Be thankful. For I have not spoken of myself. This is the key. So this star, we bring it all the way down from the messenger to the age, all the way down to the local star of the church. You bring it down right down there to that. For I have spoken not of myself. That's why he will not speak of himself. He's going to bring it from the line of the messenger. He's going to bring it from the scripture and the message which he has sent. He gave me commandment of what I should say and what I should speak. And we can only say what the messenger has already said. But you say, well, why don't I just get the book and tape? Because you can't pick it up. The supernatural element prevents the local lay members from picking up the revelation. If you are picking it up before your shepherd, he's not your shepherd. He's probably not a feeder. Or you probably need another pastor. That's why I always shut down my church, just simple as it is. If you want to hear doctrine from each other, things that I am not seeing, you got a choice. Follow that guy. He's your pastor. Or tell him, shut up. Keep quiet. Sit down and learn. You're in trouble. That's how you have to operate. You see? Otherwise, he knows more. He can leave. He's got to have a shepherd. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know as this commandment is life, whatsoever I speak therefore, even as I said unto me, so my father. So, that pattern holds true. That the local pastor will not speak anything but what his father speaks. Because he is the father of the age. The pastor is the father of the local church. The messenger is the father for the age. You see? And that is how that operates. The pattern stays the same. Everybody happy? Okay, let's go to my notes and let's look at Matthew 28. The whole purpose is, when I think, I see denomination pass off the scene. And everything else just going. See, when I see God's great purpose, revealing himself. That's a great purpose. Revealing himself. Having first to reveal himself in Christ. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. This great purpose now. And then to bring that fullness of the Godhead bodily in a people. That he could have the preeminences, the oversight, the leading. The whole thing. If you know when Brother Bam said, if you look at the scriptures and don't see Jesus Christ, go and look at it again. That's true. There's one step further. If you see Jesus Christ, you must see the invisible God behind it. Because that's the whole purpose. It's not just to reveal himself in Christ. So if you come and you don't see Jesus Christ in everything, then there's that step now. But he is to reveal him. He's revealing himself in that way. So we know that it's line upon line and quote upon quote. You take one quote out of context without adding it to the rest, you die. Well, is it the same thing here? Oh, is my battery gone? Okay, it might be this. There you go. Okay, so let's look. We're looking at Matthew 28:19. Everybody knows what it is. All power is given to me both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Is that right? Okay. That word power is a word authority. Exousia. There is one body. Now watch how it unfolds. Remember, the whole thing is what? God, right? The whole thing is God. Alright. So there's one body, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. Now one body, one spirit. Now the whole thing, the whole one body now, if you want to look at it, the whole one body is made up of two parts. The whole body of God is made up of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve is the body of God.
or the family of God. When it is talking about Adam and Eve, God becomes the heavenly bridegroom. When it's talking about the mystery of the body of husband and wife, then he becomes, the last Adam becomes the bridegroom, and she becomes the bride. It's how you are going to look at the mystery. Because if you don't see this twofold of the mystery, you're going to be confused and say, one place he says, oh, the son is the bridegroom. Next place he said, God is the bridegroom. He said, God, who is the Word, he is the bridegroom. The bridegroom is the Word. But he's not talking about the son. You see? He's not talking about the son. He's talking about God. But then when he says that the bride has to be the Word, as the bridegroom is the Word, now he's talking about these two. One that came out of this one. But where did he come out from? This one. So you have to follow his pattern. If you don't follow his pattern, you die. Remember, the first quote I gave you there was that everything eventually must be, it is a revelation of God. Either his wisdom, or either his purpose, or either himself. All right? So let's look at the scripture. I'm going to give you an example of it. One Lord. What's the purpose of the one Lord? Well, we know in the book of Acts 2:32-36, we know that Peter, three witnesses, Peter, in the book of Acts, he is speaking, and Peter said, I want you to know that this same Jesus, God has made. And I said, God, that's Elohim, Jehovah, and Father, has made this same Jesus whom you crucified, he made him Lord and Christ. All right? Now, I am guaranteed that you know these truths already. And the reason he made him Lord and Christ is for, I normally say four reasons. There are really five reasons, but one of them is what we call technical. All right? The first reason is because he is the husband to the church. And in 1 Peter 3, Sarah called her husband Lord. Right? The second reason, he is king of the Jews. And the king of the Jews, I would make my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. Psalms 89. He's king of the Jews. He is firstborn of the brethren. Genesis 27. Is it 27, 23, verse 0? 37. 37. He is firstborn, and firstborn is made Lord. I don't know if you can put it. Do you know that scripture? Should I put it up, or do you know it? I know it's the seventh seal. It's half hour silence. Do you want to put it up, or is it okay? If you know it, it's fine. Now remember, friends, what you're hearing here, I'm guaranteed 95% of Durban probably doesn't know it, because I know almost all of Cape Town don't know it. They don't know it, nor do they care to know it. And if you present it, they're scared to death of it. They have no idea. They know it not that they're in idolatry, Baal worship. They don't know it. You might have family. You might have friends. It doesn't matter. God is not in that business. But I'm guaranteeing you this. They know it not. No? 27, 37? Okay, you can look it up yourself. Okay, that's the firstborn. That's our firstborn. And also Deuteronomy, isn't it? You have that? Deuteronomy also? 21 what? 21:15. Let's do 21:15 first. Deuteronomy 21:15. Anyone you got first? If a man have two wives, this is not for you brothers, okay? This is just the Old Testament. If a man have two wives, one beloved, the other hated, and they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated, and if the firstborn son be hers that was hated, then it shall be, when he make his sons to inherit that which he had, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he had. That's why we are joint heirs with Christ, but we are not joint in half of the kingdom. He receives half. Then the other half is broken down into you. All right? For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. Okay. Genesis 27:37. Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, remember, this is Esau is supposed to be the firstborn, right? Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord, and all his brethren I have given for him to be. That's why Paul said, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. I am a bond servant of Jesus Christ. We are bond servant of the firstborn. He is made. We have been. He is made our Lord. He's been made because he is firstborn. Given him to be for his servants and with corn and wine to sustain him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? Because I've already made him your Lord. All right? I have made him, and this same man God had made him Lord in Christ. Remember that? Now, second thing before we move on. Okay, that's three. Okay, he's a husband, he's a king of the Jew, he's the firstborn, he is an overcomer. Thank you, Brother Cyril. An overcomer. When you overcome, you always get a title, is that right? He received lordship as an overcomer. And he is the high priest, which is also the judge. All right? That's, they say, the technical part. What's the technical part? Because the high priest and the judge is also the king of saints as Lord. All right? These two here is technical. So if you just make it four, that's fine. If you make it five, that's all right. I normally try not to divide this, but to make it simpler, I do that. Okay? So that's why he's made Lord in Christ. Now, Peter said that. Peter, in the day of Pentecost, said God had made the same Jesus Lord and Christ. And David, in the Psalms 110, he acknowledged that God has made, who is supposed to be imputed son of David. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? He said, the son of David. He said, if David is a son, why did David call him Lord? All right? Well, the reason now Peter understood that, to me, I believe that God allowed Peter to be the spokesman for many reasons. But one of the reasons is that God chose Peter to give him the revelation. You know, what think ye of Christ? He said, Who dost thou say the Son of Man is? And for Peter, God revealed to him, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Isn't that right? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, that's the question Jesus asked in Matthew 20. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And they said, David's son. And he said, Jesus said, well, then answer me this. If he is David's son, why did David call him Lord? The reason David called him Lord is because David in the vision saw the death of the Messiah on the cross. He saw his soul in hell. And then David saw him resurrected. I will not leave his soul in hell. He saw him resurrected, and then David saw him sitting at the right hand. God exalted him on the right hand, which means he made him Lord. And that is why David called him Lord, because David saw God raise him from the dead and set him up on his right hand. And David now knew that that was his Lord. Because David's body was in the sepulchre, it could not be talking about him. Is that right? So this man was greater than David, who was a mighty conqueror, but he never did conquer death. This man conquered death. He was greater than David. Whose son is he? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. David said, the Lord said unto my Lord. And Jesus said, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? The Jews said, the Son of David. Now let's see what Jesus said about himself. Jesus saw this in Matthew 28:19, when he said, all authority is given unto me, both in heaven and earth. That's another way of saying, hey, I'm on the right hand of God. So Matthew 28:19 is literally. Now all authority is the word exousia. You know, like the word parousia. Exousia. This word ousia, when broken down, comes up to the word I was, I am, and these two equals being. You have to be a being and present to say that I am. So all authority is given, and authority cannot be given. If somebody gives you authority, it means you never did have it at one time. And the only person who can give you authority is the I am. The word authority implies somebody who is before you must be able to give it to you because you did not possess it. So who is saying, sit on my right hand? Who is saying, I give you authority? Jehovah said unto my Lord, who has been made Lord, sit on my right hand. I am giving you exousia. Because the only one who does not need authority is the I am. Because there's nobody before him to give it to him. This is the word that is connected to Genesis, to John 1:1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. It does not imply God is past tense. What implies is that the I am, this great being, was in a form, came into a form. But it did not mean he was ever past tense. In the beginning was the word. No. It means the I am was in a form of expression in the very beginning called word. And that word is nothing more or less than God himself. All right. Now, remember the purpose of this. The purpose of all of this is one thing. The quote I read, that God wants to reveal himself, have the preeminence. It's first in Christ, then in his people, then in creation. Only three ways you can see God, or four ways. In his word, in his people, in his son, in his what? Creation. There is one body, one spirit, even as called the hope of his calling. One Lord. Okay, let's look at that one Lord now. What is this Lord who was made Lord? What is he to do? What is his purpose? From this one Lord, we have the revelation of two Lords that comes out. He made him Lord so that he can reveal the Lord, which is God. The Lord. And from this one Lord comes a family of lords, which are you. You are kings and priests. So from this one Lord, we have a revelation of Melchizedek, king and priest and an order. And the firstborn of that order, the son, and then we are after the order of that. From that one Lord. Without him, God could not have revealed that one Lord. From that one faith. One faith. What? Faith. From the faith, from having faith, God bringing you to your attention to a ministry that even in the past tense we look back to. Even in the past tense of the Old Testament look forward to. We in the New Testament look back to. One faith. From this one faith comes three faiths. Faith in Christ. He's the Son of God and what he did. The faith of Christ. An adoptive perfect faith. Remember, the whole purpose is to do what? For God to be revealed. For God to be revealed. One baptism. Is it a baptism that Moses had in the Red Sea? Is a baptism that we had with Jesus, with John baptism, then the baptism of Jesus? Or is it the New Testament, Acts 2:38? Well, this is what it is. From it, we come, the plan of redemption is a water baptism. That's the plan of redemption. Death, burial, resurrection, is that right? That's what you go down in the water. Okay, now, then from that one baptism, it is saying that I have faith in the Son of God and that I have accepted him as Lord and I've renounced my lordship. So therefore, I am dying. I'm coming up with him as my Lord. Is that right? And if you have faith in that, then you make you a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that baptism of the Holy Ghost was for seven church ages. It's called the age of the baptism. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. And at the end of this baptism is the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, which is your body change. Or the new earth. From that one. Three unfoldings from that one baptism. Is that what he said in Christ, the mystery of God revealed? Is that... let me see. Think of it. I just see denominations pass off the scene. Everything else just going. See, I want to see God's great purpose revealing himself. Revealing himself. All right, in everything. But first, having first revealed himself in Christ. The fullness of the God. And then to bring that fullness of the bodily into a people that he could have the preeminence, the oversight and the leading. All right, he already told us that God is revealing his own word. He already preached God, Christ revealing his own word. Is that right? He already preached to us the Father, God in creation, God in nature. All right, but these are the two highest because this goes back to the Melchizedek order. You see, Melchizedek order. The kingdom order is the people and the things therein. But this is the Melchizedek order. This is inside of the city. All right, okay, now. So now after he relays that, he comes back and he says, you see, because of this, we know there is one God, Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. So, let's look at water baptism and see if God, see the thing? If God is revealed in the water baptism, if God is revealed in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and if God is revealed in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. You see, not the Son. God is revealed. All right, so Patmos vision, Brother Bram says, oh, how marvelous the revelation. How marvelous the revelation. Now remember, you cannot get it through theologians. Right then and there, you want to stop. What do you mean you can't get it through theologians? It means if this is a revelation, a great revelation, the greatest of all revelation, it means one thing, it means it has to come from a prophet. It has to come from a prophet. All right? Here's what he's going to tell you. You cannot get it through theologians because the principle that we showed you that no one can reveal the Father but the Son. And water baptism, mystery, is to reveal the Father as the only Redeemer. Jonah 2:9. Salvation is of Jehovah. He's the only Savior. There's no Son can save. The Son cannot save you. To say the Son can save you, to say, is to say Moses delivered them. Or Moses saved them. It is God through Moses delivered them. It is God through Christ that saved you. You see, therefore, the whole plan of this thing, water baptism. Remember, water baptism goes together with Godhead revelation. When the Godhead revelation left, the water baptism became perverted. If Godhead revelation comes back, the trueness of water baptism comes back. See? Now I'm going to tell you this. You see, the simple revelation about water baptism is not simple. And I'm guaranteeing you, every single minister and a congregation in this country of Durban, even in South Africa, except maybe a few in Cape Town, has been baptized according to Baal baptism and oneness baptism and don't know it. You see, that could never be. You are the same people going to tell me only one in a million will make it. You are the same one who says, I believe one in a million. You're the same one who says, you know, the one in a million is not taken into effect, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites, or the baptism method. It was taken on the people that followed a prophet in an exodus with a pillar of fire and a token. And your revelation is going to make them ashamed, make excuses, because no minister, no pastor wants to admit that they were baptized in a oneness baptism. Too late for them to do it now. They would rather die than to do it. They will make excuses. It's not important. But I want to ask you a question. If you were a Trinitarian and you came to this message, would you be rebaptized? Brother Louis? And if you were oneness and you came into this message, even though you were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, would you be rebaptized? Then what's the problem? It doesn't come that way. It only comes as a revelation. Now you see this word revelation? That's an important word, because that is not a revelation that comes to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. That's a revelation that doesn't come to theologian. It doesn't come to lay member. It comes to a single prophet. And that single prophet represents the Son of God. And it's the Son who reveals the Father. I just did the principle on that side. Remember that? Therefore, without Brother Branham, there is no true revelation of water baptism or Godhead. Water baptism, using the name of Jesus Christ, can only be given as a revelation. Now I know you said so simple you don't need a revelation, but it's not that so simple. You said Brother Bam said it is. Brother Bam is talking. If you go to Acts 2:38, does it say baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? There is no Lord there. There's no Lord there. So where does he pick up the title Lord? Are you saying he picks it up at the resurrection? He becomes Lord Jesus Christ, right? God had made him same Jesus, Lord and Christ. Well, what about the revelation that God, who is Jehovah the old, now has a human name, Jesus Christ? Now it doesn't become so simple. You have choice. You have to make a choice. There is a Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and there is the Lord Jesus Christ that Paul met on the road to Damascus when he said, Great Jehovah, who is that? And he said, I am Jesus. And the prophet then said, Paul now knew that Jehovah had called himself Jesus. And he said, He is a God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, the same yesterday and forever spans the dispensations of time. Isn't that right? It spans the dispensations of time. He is a God that never had a beginning. He is from the beginning. Is that right? He's the Alpha, he's the Omega. There's a Jesus Christ who's the Alpha and the Omega. And then there's the Son of God. So you see how we get these things mixed up here now. Can only be given as a revelation. But then it's not black and white. It's a choice you have to make now. It's a revelation with an understanding. And Jesus, being the same person, Jesus and God being the same person, can only come as a... Notice how we tie those two together. Water baptism and baptism, water baptism and Godhead together. Right? It's a revelation. Note, a prophetic Son of Man ministry to bring the God and to bring God and Christ, to bring the God and Christ mystery. Of course, I took some of the scriptures down. That's the scripture here. No one can reveal the Father but the Son, to whomsoever the Son reveal him to. An understanding, the Spirit of truth coming. All right. There it is. So let's look at this now. Note, the revelation of God in water baptism must get your Godhead straightened out. You see, you misunderstand it, friends. It is one God in three dispensations. Now, I forgot, Brother Louis, my notes on dispensation. Maybe you can read it or something. But this word is very important. This word is the word okonomos in the Greek. It's made up of two words, okamai and nomos. And what okamai represent is house. You know, like the house of David. When you say the house of David, it did not mean the building David lived in. The house was a seed. A man's house. What, you know, when Christ says, you know, when he said, God says, what house can you build me? He's not talking about a building or a church. The house, how can you build my family? You can't build my family. I must build it myself. It must be built upon me. So then the church, it must be built upon the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's not the Son. Because what house will you build God? The whole family of God, Adam and Eve, was his house. That's the house of God. Oh, I hope you can see it. You see? So, you're looking here now. This word, okonomos. I don't have my notes. You have to forgive me. Okemai, which means house. And nomos, which means law. It means how God runs, how God runs his children. Under what laws does he operate? Under what principle does he operate? And so, in the Old Testament, okonomai, dispensations, church, management of a household. You see, or household affairs, especially management, oversight, administration, property. So in the Old Testament, under fatherhood, God operated through prophets. He operated through prophets. And these prophets were the judges. They brought the justice of God, whereby Moses brought the law of God. So the law of God came so that the prophets can judge the people by the law. And that's how God operated in the Old Testament. That's fatherhood. God above them with Moses. Then in sonship, he ran his house and his stewardship. When he came and dwelt in his son, then he made a dispensational change from Moses, from Elijah. Is that right? So the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, that met him in Mount Transfiguration. And then Peter, James, and son said, wait a minute, let's go make a tabernacle, one for Christ. And Brother Bam said, you see, they wanted to go back to the laws and the prophet. Because they thought God was still going to run his kingdom like that. And God said, no, here he him. I'm now going to run my kingdom, amen, from sonship. I've come down to change the dispensation by allowing my son now to be able to take my blood to Calvary, shed the blood. So sonship means the birth and the death and resurrection of the Son of God. That's what happened in sonship. To change the dispensation from law to grace, he had to shed the blood. He couldn't do it without a virgin birth. So sonship will take in consideration the blood cell that he placed in Mary from that point on, until his death, his burial, and his resurrection and sonship is over. It will take that to change the administration from law and justice to grace. And that's how he ran his home. And then after that, the resurrection, he comes back on the day of Pentecost, and that starts the Holy Spirit dispensation. Notice the prophet. One God in three dispensations. He is calling the word Father, not a title for a man giving birth to a son. So there is a Father dispensation, Son dispensation, and Holy Spirit. So even the word Holy Spirit is not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about a period of time that God is running his church, not under just under Holy Spirit, but a period of time the Holy Spirit is operating through gifts in the church. That's why Brother Man called it gifts of the Holy Spirit. Get that? So Holy Spirit is a dispensation. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit itself. Let me see if I can make that clear. When he's talking about he said, Brother Tony, every time you come here, you keep us forever. Well, that's because Brother Cyril spoke forever. He's a good friend. He knows to take good blame. Okay. There's your fatherhood. There's sonship. And then there's a Holy Spirit. Let's put ship. Okay. Now, you see, this fatherhood is not talking about a man having a son. This is talking about an office. Or dispensation, or a period of time. Has nothing to do with son. And God, in Moses, or above Moses, whatever, is a type of that. And here, he is the father of a nation. What kind of father? Patriarch. Okay, then you have here now, the same God that was in Moses, the Lord thy God shall raise up a prophet like unto me, which is Jesus the Son. And then this same God came in this Son, and that became sonship. You see, sonship have nothing to do with Son. This sonship is a dispensation or an office, and this is a person. And then, this sonship began with the virgin, the blood in the virgin birth, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the 40 days, and the ascension. That sonship, that's a period of time. What did it do? It changed the way God administered, run his family from under the law and justice of the judge, of the prophets. Now he's running it now under grace. This made a way for grace. And for grace now to be preached and taught for seven church ages and then the rapture to go up. And then he gave gifts unto men. And these gifts, let's represent them as stars. And these stars are represented by angels above, which are called seven eyes. So you have the seven eyes, you have the seven stars. That was the power of God in the church, seven horns. That is on the Lamb. You see? And then that's called Holy Spirit ship. See? Then that pillar of fire came on the day of Pentecost. Stayed until A.D. 67. The pillar of fire goes up. Incarnates Jesus' body on the throne. A.D. 96, John is caught up and he sees the incarnate God one on the throne. That's how that works. You see? And then, so that means the period of time where he went up from AD 67 to 1963, between that period of time is called the age of the comforter. And he comforted them through stars. The messenger became the comforters because the Holy Spirit himself was not on the earth. Is that right? Pillar of fire was not in his. So he sent comforter, messengers. And how does God comfort his people? Through his word. The message of the hour. The message for the seven church ages. And then after 60, you see, in the time of 63 now, you have the Spirit of Truth himself coming with the word, which is the third pull. Not comforter to comfort the church. The Spirit of Truth himself, God himself, coming with the seventh thunder. That itself is to finish the work of the Holy Spirit ship. You see, is that right? Because we don't need it when we go up in a rapture. That's the end of it for us. All right? So this Holy Spirit, oh, that's what I got to. So this Holy Spirit ship is not talking about the Holy Spirit, the being. This is talking about a period of time. I know you said a lot. Oh, Brother Tony, what? This Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is not talking about the being. It's talking about a dispensation, a period of time. If fatherhood is a period of time dispensation, if sonship is a period of time, then the Holy Spirit, this is not a noun. This is not a noun. A noun is a name of a person, is that right? No, it's not a name of a place. It's not a name of a person. All right, but it is a description of a period of time whereby minister and spirit come to the angels. You say, but Tony, well, we never hear like that. The reason is because it is a mystery from under that seventh. That's why I said, if you can't follow your shepherd, you can read all your message as much as you want. You will mess it up like men who are not even called in the ministry. You'll mess it up. Or if you are not birthed, like ministers, not all ministers are birthed. If they are birthed, they will not misplace, dislocate, and misinterpret the word. If so, the minister needs to be birthed. If he's birthed, then he will understand. If he is not birthed, then he will fight this to the death. He will fight it to the death. Let me give you another example. This is my old little language. Jehovah of the old is Jesus of the new. Okay? Baal of the old is the other Jesus of the new. If you got this wrong, the name baptism in the name of the Son, Lord Jesus Christ the Son, you are a Baal worshipper. And you would have been a Baal worshipper in the Old Testament. Because if there is an Elijah, there must be a Jezebel. There must be an Ahab. There must be a priest of Baal. There must be an altar of Baal. Is that right? And there must be a 7,000 who will not bow their knees to Baal. Was there Elijah today? And our Elijah said, I'm against Trinity and oneness, so both of them are Baal worship. One God in three dispensations. The dispensation of fatherhood, sonship, and Holy Spirit ship. Do you mind if I use that word? So this sonship has nothing to do with a man. This fatherhood has nothing to do with a man. This Holy Spirit has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit God. This is a period of time. Let me give you a scripture. Let us go to Ephesians 1 and 10. Louis, see what I told you. It's hard, huh? Okay, maybe 15 minutes? Is that good? 15 minutes? At least you'll go home for dinner. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, the period of time whereby God is going to gather his children, would not be the God of the Old Testament securing his elect in the Old Testament? God making a way in sonship to deliver the ones in the Old Testament and make a way for the ones for the New Testament. That's why Jesus is called that keystone, because it is the center stone between two columns. That's sonship. That's what God did in his Son in sonship. Alright? So you find that in the fullness of time, the dispensation of the fullness of times, in other words, when everything is to be gathered up, might gather together in one all things in Christ, both in heaven. Well, who's in heaven? That's the Old Testament saints that came under fatherhood. And in Christ is what he did in sonship. And them which are in heaven is them that are in the seven church ages. See, in heaven, which are in, and even on earth, even in him. So you have two sections. You have the ones in the glorified body of the Old Testament. You have in heaven the theophanic world, which is in a theophanic world for the New Testament. Is that right? And then we, who will be alive, will be changed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, and we will be garnered up together in one. That in the fullness of the dispensation, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, that is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That God, through fatherhood, sonship, and Holy Spirit, gives him the opportunity to take those Old Testament saints that are in a glorified body, to take the New Testament seven church ages that is in a theophany under the altar, and to take the ones who are yet alive and gather us together in this moment when the dispensation of Holy Spirit is coming to an end to the Gentile world. Amen. My notes, please. 15 minutes. All right. It's the same God. Notice, it's the same God. One God in three dispensations. Well, Jesus cannot be his own father, so it's not the Son. The dispensation. Okay. Then, baptism must get your God. Okay. What did I do? I read this, didn't I? Okay. When he says, go baptize them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You see, if you make Father a person, Son a person, Holy Spirit a person, is where the Trinity and the oneness die. It's not talking about a person there. It's talking about the one God who saved and delivered them in the Old Testament, came now under a new administration to save the ones he delivered, because he could not deliver them without blood. The blood and bulls and goat could not take away sin. So he saved them on a credit card. And when Christ came, he took the real blood and paid the debt off. And that's why he was able to deliver them up. That's what he did. Saved by a credit card. Okay? And the Holy Spirit. It was Jesus Christ. That's why we baptize in Jesus' name. Now look, let's get the baptism there. The first time baptism was ever mentioned in the New Testament was John the Baptist. Is that right? I placed this up here so you'll see. You'll have to get your Godhead straightened out before you can get your baptism. Now, what is the Godhead? The Godhead, there's one God who had a Son. They both have the same name. They share the same body. They share the same blood. They share the same people. Now, they share the same throne for a moment. Is that right? But in the future home, the Son is not to have the throne of his Father. He's a man like you and I. He has to share the earthly throne, because Adam was God of the earth. He was not the God of heaven. I read the quote to you. Lord God, Father, God of heaven and earth. That was never Adam's title. Neither will it be the title of the Son of God. So now, I asked the question here. It was so. Let's read it again. One God in three dispensations. The dispensation of fatherhood, sonship, Holy Spirit is the same God. And when he said, go baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it was Jesus Christ. And that's why we baptize in Jesus' name. Now look, you see, that's why we baptize in Jesus' name. Now watch what I want to ask you. I'm going to ask you the question, which Jesus Christ? Because he's telling me here, now look, you got to get your baptism here. Get the baptism here. First time baptism was ever mentioned in the New Testament was John the Baptist. Is that right? I'll place this right here. You'll see. You have to get your baptism. You have to get your Godhead. Why do you need your Godhead straightened out? Because if you are a Trinity, you'll get it wrong. And if you're oneness, you're going to get it wrong. You're going to get the wrong Jesus. You'll get your baptism straightened out. So I ask the question in the next quote. Which Jesus name? Sir, we would see Jesus. We don't want to see the Son. If we see the Son, the rapture's happened. And so if he's asking in the living, sir, we would see Jesus, we've got to see Almighty God in the form of a prophet, and the man who's standing here, William Branham, is going to be looking just like Jesus in action, because he represents him. Look, when he was here on earth, how many knows that that was the pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel in the wilderness? That it was Christ, the angel of the covenant. So all of this, that's the anointing or the anointor. The angel of the covenant. All right, how many knows that that was Jesus in Jesus, that same spirit? So now I ask you, if God is a spirit, you are baptizing in the name of God the Spirit. You're not baptizing in the Son, flesh and blood. Because you're baptizing in one God who is Spirit. So you're baptizing in the name of this Jesus, the Spirit that was in Moses, the Spirit that was in his Son Jesus, and the Spirit in the pillar of fire that came on the day of Pentecost. Faith is works expressed. Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him, and all the Father has given me will come. Now watch carefully the interpretation. No man can understand in who he is or how it is. Notice the date, 65:11. He's going to die just now. That's a couple more days. No man can understand who in who he is or how it is, except it be revealed to you by the revelation of God. And then faith in that, you can act accordingly. Unless it's revealed to you, your baptism is nothing. It's got to be revealed to you. See, he's going to build his church on it. See, here we see plainly that God is revealed in Christ. But God, the Spirit Jesus, is revealed in the flesh Jesus. So which one do you think was in the Old Testament? You see, it is the Spirit Jesus. God is revealed in Jesus. And only those who were foreordained to see it will see it. Do you know the name of the Father? Do you know the name of his Son? Proverbs chapter 30. That question could only be answered through Brother Branham's ministry. John 6:44-46, I omitted it because I thought maybe we'd have maybe not enough time to go through, because that clock up there just keeps moving. And so we notice, no man can come except my Father draws him first. And all the Father has given me, they will come. They'll recognize it. No other man can do it. No other person, no matter how good, no matter how good a man you are, no matter how moral, no matter how holy, no matter how good who you are, it's got to be revealed to you. Then you see who Jesus Christ is. Rapture message now. Cain and Abel didn't have a Bible to read, but it was revealed to Abel by faith, which is a revelation. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, which God testified that he was righteous. When Jesus was asked here in Matthew 16:17-18, he haven't time to read it, but if you want to write it down, he said, who does man say I, the Son of Man, am? One of them said, you're Moses, Elias, and so forth. But who do you say I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living. So Peter got the answer, but only half the answer right. Because Son of Man is God in the form of a prophet. The Christ was to be a prophet like unto Moses. He only got half of it right, brother. He never got the whole answer. So Brother Branham have to give the other half of the answer. So in the rapture message, this is what the prophet said. He said, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you. My Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you. So the Son Jesus cannot give revelation. It's the Father Jesus that can reveal. He says here, upon this rock, the spiritual revelation of who God is, who Jesus is. Now that's the end time revelation for the bride. You're not even the church if this revelation is not in your heart. Because if this is in your heart, you will be birthed. And if you are birthed, you can't help your Bible become a new book. Can't help it. And he is the revelation of God. God made in flesh and revealed to the world. He was in the world. God was in Christ. Notice the interpretation of the scripture of John 1. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him. Not talking about the Son. God was in Christ. That's how he was in the world. You see, reconciling the world to himself, revealing what God was in a body of flesh. Thou art the Christ, the anointed one. Notice, not the anointing. This is not the one that was Moses saw. You see, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So now you see Christ. There's a Christ who is the Son of God, and there's Christ who is the pillar of fire, Jehovah, the angel of the covenant. He said, flesh and blood will not reveal it to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you upon and I'll build my church. Okay, now quickly. The blood cell was Jehovah. The body was Jehovah, human body. And every body will have, and the body will have a human name. So Jehovah's God, the Father, human name is Jesus, and his Son inherits that same name. So we have Jesus the Father and Jesus the Son. Watch the quote. Watch the quote. God has got many titles. Not the Son of God has many titles. God has many titles. He's the one who needs to be revealed. He is in the eagle. He is in the dove. He is in the lamb. The Lamb of God is God, not the Son of God. The Son of the real Lamb of God is God. The Lamb of God. The Son only comes to reveal the qualities of the real Lamb. Because if that blood was not God's blood in that Lamb, you and I are still in our sins. So who is the real lamb? Who is the real eagle? God is the first of everything. He is the lion. He is the king of the birds, the eagle. He is he's a king of the sacrificial birds, the dove. He's the highest of all of his own creation. God has got many titles. Jehovah Jireh, not the Son. So Jehovah Jireh is not Jesus the man. It is not Jehovah Rapha, is not Jesus the man. Jehovah Manasseh is not Jesus the man. You say, he is Jehovah Rapha. The Son said, I cannot heal anybody. It is my Father. So Psalms 103 says, I am the Lord. I am Jehovah that healeth all thy diseases, who forgiveth all thy iniquities. Amen. The Son can't do that. So who is the judge today that appeared in a cloud and said, you are the sinless, virtuous bride? Who forgives all thy iniquities? Who is the one that justified the ungodly? Not the Son. God has got many titles. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Manasseh. Oh, many. He's got seven compound redemptive names. Who's got it? So there's Jesus Christ. The Jesus Christ, who has the seven compound redemptive name, is the one who was Jehovah in the old. Not the Son. Because he said, I can't do these things. If he said, I can't heal, you can't give him credit for Jehovah Rapha. You say, Brother Tony, but I thought I read that in the message. You read the wrong Jesus in there. You did not know at that time there were two Lord Jesus Christ. You did not know there were two Jesus Christ. There had to be two because there's another Jesus, isn't there? Right? He's got seven compound redemptive names. He's got many titles. The Rose of Sharon, that's not the Son. The Lily of the Valley, that's not the Son. The Morning Star is not the Son. Father, Son, Holy Spirit dispensation, that's not the Son. All that, but he's got only one human name. Now, not the Son, God. Let me tell you a secret about that word, Jesus. When the Son was being born, an angel came and told his mother, call him Jesus. Is that right? So the Son of God, his name came from heaven. But when on the road to Damascus, when Paul looked up and saw the pillar of fire, he said, great Jehovah, who art thou? Not an angel answered back. Who can give you the name of Jehovah? God himself revealed his name to Paul. I am Jesus. God's name was revealed to a prophet by himself. But the Son of God was given that name by an angel. But he's got only one human name. God only had one name, and that name was the Lord Jesus Christ. One. The one God's human name revealed in the end time mystery of Hebrews 13:8 is Paul's revelation of Jehovah's new name. We are baptized in that name in Acts 2:38. And now God had three offices. Now he's calling them. You see? So if you say Father is an office, Son is an office, Holy Spirit is an office, I will tell you that those offices that he is has to have somebody in them, and somebody has to be a noun. So if the Father is an office, that is not a noun. You have to have a noun in that office. You see? That is how you tell, because they like to, the oneness like to say, oh, it's a role he's just playing. No. Amen. Jehovah is playing the role as God in Moses, God in Christ, but God in Moses is fatherhood. God in Christ is sonship. And God in the gifts or the prophets of like Paul and whatsoever, that's Holy Spiritship. See, don't let them deceive you, brother. They don't know. Believe me, they don't know. And now, God had three offices. One of them was called the fatherhood. That is not talking about a noun. The father or the father dispensation. The other one was called sonship. And the other was called Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit is not talking about a noun. Okay? Now, today, Holy Ghost. Now, today, what dispensation? The prophet is asking, what dispensation is Father working in today? Congregation says Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. What was he in the days that went by? Jesus, that's sonship. And what was he in the days before that? Father to Moses. But there was just one God. Is that right? He's Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Those three offices of one God. But now Father is not a name. In other words, Father is not a noun. Son is not a noun. Holy Spirit is not a noun. Do you catch it? They're not a noun. They're not a name. You see, I give you Matthew 28:19, where Jesus said, go therefore teach all nations, baptize them in the name of Father. It wasn't three gods, offices of the same God. So the same God is the one noun. One noun, three different offices. If you can catch that up. A noun, the name of a person. The same God, the Fatherhood, the Sonship, Holy Spirit. The same God in 3-1. You don't have to have no Nicaea Council for that. It's God, the same God. Always one God. He was in the Fatherhood. That was the reason Matthew said, baptize them in the name, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Not three gods. One God in three offices. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Three attributes, certainly. Then in Acts 2:38, David has not ascended. He said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand until I make. Now, let me just skip this, because I don't think you need it. I got two more things to do for you to really help this. God has many titles. Our righteousness, our peace, ever present, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But he has only one human name, and that name is Jesus. Has the name of the Lord changed in different dispensation? Yes. It was once called the I Am. Now notice, I Am is Jehovah. He is called Jehovah, and he's changed many times. Not the Son, he can't change. He is given a name. Who can give Jehovah a name? Nobody. The last time it was changed was when God became flesh and took a human name. Jehovah, I Am, and all of those are titles to a name. See, if you was baptized in the name of Jehovah, it have to be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not talking about the Son, because the Son was never Jehovah. So if you are baptized today, if someone baptized you and they never told you the difference between the Lord Jesus Christ the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ the Son that you've been baptized in, then brother, I would run to the water and say, Brother Louis, baptize me. Because I'm a oneness, a Baal worshiper, and it was a Baal priest that brought me to the water. And you know what Elijah said to the Baal priest? Bring them down to the water, the brook of Kidron, let's kill them all. That's what he said. If you was baptized in the name of Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Manasseh, Jehovah Jireh, and all of those, it'll have to be Jesus Christ. The I Am is Jesus Christ. Well, we know the Son, Jesus Christ, is never the I Am, because he had a beginning. This has no beginning. This is the plainest quote. If you really study it, you'll see that you are baptized in the name of God. Now, two things. In the New Testament, Brother Branham told us that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, guards. I have these notes, but time would not permit us. But I'll speak it, and you all have it. I know I have the notes. I'll share it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John guard the book of Acts. Is that what the prophet taught us? All right. So, a book of Acts said, go baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what Acts 2:38 says. It guards the book of Acts. Also, Acts 10:40 say, baptize in the name of the Lord. All right? So you are baptized in the name of the Lord, you are baptized in the name. Now, in the Old Testament, the Bible said when you wanted anything, if you're looking for salvation, it said, call upon the name of the Lord. Calling upon the name of the Lord. The Lord that they were calling there was Jehovah. Salvation is of the Lord, Jonah 2:9. So if you want salvation, what name would you be calling on? Jehovah's name. Now, when you go to baptism, to be baptized in the water, and you're going down in the water, your death, burial, and resurrection, are you not calling on God to redeem you? For God to save you? Well, then calling upon the name of God is calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The same God that they call on in the Old Testament. You say, Brother Tony, but how then should we baptize? This is the formula. Go back and read. Water baptism, Billy Paul baptism. Water baptism, Billy Paul baptism is in water baptism. This is how Brother Bam baptized him. He said, son, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then he went and baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a order for that baptism. Let us go to the book of Romans 10. I'm just going to deviate just to see the formula. You say, well, how do we baptize? This is the formula. Romans 10 and 9. If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. All right? So when you come to the water, this must be the part where we will ask you, seeing that you have come to the water, type of Jordan, having confessed your sin, and accepted Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your Lord and your Savior. Isn't that right? Because you've got to hold on to God's salvation. Is that right? You've got to accept the salvation that God offers. If God sent a prophet, you better hold on to that prophet. If God sends a redeemer, you better follow and hold on to that redeemer. So that's how that works. You accepted Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your Lord and your Savior. I now baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, calling upon the God that saved them in the Old Testament through Moses, the God that saved you now through Christ, and God who will deliver the church by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Same God. I now baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I normally add your God and your Father. The minister can put whatever else he wants in it. He can tailor make it to how he wants that revelation. As long as those people know the difference of accepting and confessing with their own mouth the Lord Jesus. And then baptize him in the name of God. The Bible said calling on a name. So the book of Acts is guarded when Matthew 28:19. So you say, how does it guard it? Matthew said he's guarding the book of Acts. So the book of Acts says, baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ. I mean, 2:38 says, baptize in Jesus Christ. Acts 10:48 says, baptize in the name of the Lord. The prophet puts the two together. Now the question about it, how does Matthew guard Acts 2:38? It guards it this way. Baptize in the name of the Father, the God that was with Moses. The Son, the God that was in his Son. And the Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost. That cannot be the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because he was not the one that was in Moses. And he is not the Lord Jesus Christ who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because he has a beginning. So that has to be Jehovah. Matthew 28:19 guards. Acts 2:38, so you do not make it the Son. He said, I am, is Jesus Christ. Remember, standing there that day. And he said, you say, you eat manna in the wilderness. Or your father is seated in manna. You are dead, he said. And they said, we know that you are crazy. because you are just a man and not over 50 years old. And you have seen Abraham? He said, before Abraham was I. And the prophet of God said, that was not the Son speaking. He said, that was God in Christ speaking. You see, he was the I Am. And all the titles and names that ever belonged to God was made one human name, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Now, note, there is a Jesus Christ who is God, and there's Jesus Christ who is the Son, the body, the house, the tent, the flesh, the tabernacle, the man. Look, when he was here on earth, how many knows? I know you read that already. Just a couple more. There's only one God, and we worship that one, that God. That's right. We baptize not in the Son who was made Lord, but in the Father, Jehovah, who made him Lord. Psalms 110, Acts 34-36. And if the oneness, you say, you disagree with the oneness because of their one standing like that. Yes, sir. Jesus had a Father. He was God. They baptize in the name of Jesus. I baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus because the Lord Jesus is the Father. Not the oneness view. That Jesus and God is one like your finger. One Jesus like this. No. They baptize in the name of Jesus. I baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many Jesuses, but there's only one Lord Jesus Christ. That's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, we know the Son is not in him, in the fatherhood of Moses. It's not, the Son couldn't be his own Father in sonship and the Holy Spiritship. Excuse me. There's a group of people call themselves oneness. I disagree on the oneness or the Jesus only. I don't agree with them upon their theory. Neither do I agree with the Trinitarian group that say that there's three different gods extreme to the Trinitarian. But I believe that three, Father, Son, Holy Ghost is one, that they are three offices of one God. He lived in the fatherhood in the pillar of fire. He lived in the sonship in Jesus Christ. Sonship and Jesus Christ are two different things. Sonship is the period of time. This is the Son, that God was in the Son to make it sonship. See, so sonship is not a noun. And he lives now in the Holy Spirit in his church. There's only one God. He lives in three offices, fatherhood. People went crazy trying to study that. Why? It's so simple. God the Father. God the Father, the Father dispensation. God the Father dispensation. Sonship, Holy Ghost, the same God. And then there will come a message. Oh, hallelujah. We know that that same pillar of fire that led Israel, we know that that same ministry that accompanied Jesus Christ by the pillar of fire, had him anointed, is accompanying the church today. That's Holy Spirit. Watch carefully. Hallelujah. There will come a message. Oh, we know that the same pillar of fire that led Israel, that's fatherhood. We know that that same ministry that accompanied Jesus Christ by the pillar of fire that led him, anointed him, that sonship, is accompanying the church today, Holy Spirit. Oh, brother, don't you never believe that there are three gods. There's only one God. There's three offices of that one God. Fatherhood, Sonship, Holy Spirit. God condescending from heaven. He stayed on a mountain in a pillar of fire. He came down and was made flesh and dwelt among us in sonship. From fatherhood and now dwells in his church as the same Holy Spirit, the same God. If there's only one God, three different dispensations. The three different dispensations. Fatherhood, Sonship, Holy Spirit. So dispensation is not a person. Three dispensations and not three persons. It's time. Okinomos. 3 years. Everything was 3 years. Men, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Same God. That was under the dispensation. Is under this dispensation. Is under that dispensation. And will be. Notice under dispensation of fatherhood, sonship, Holy Spiritship. And will be the same. Only one God. Three dispensation. Not three gods. Amen. The same God was in a pillar of fire. Was in Jesus Christ. Let's read that again. The same God that was in a pillar of fire, that's fatherhood. Was in Jesus Christ, that's sonship. The same one in Jesus Christ is in you, that's right. God in you, the hope of glory. He was the Father leading the children of Israel, that was his office. The great Jehovah Father. And he dwelt on earth called the Son. And now he dwells in his church called the Holy Spirit. When you say he dwells in a church called the Son, called sonship. Because he showed us that all the time. Put the quotes together. I'm going to miss. I think you pretty much know all of these. All right. I would encourage you to go back and study the Old Testament, where the Bible says, you know, the children who need the help, the Old Testament children that needed help, called upon the name of Jehovah, calling upon the name of God. You cannot change. There is only one God. There's only one deliverer. There's only one healer. There's only one that can justify you. There's only one that can forgive sin. And that is Almighty God. Amen. I've kept you long. The light didn't go, so praise God. I pray that it will become clear to you. These are simple truths to them that are converted. It's difficult for the soul that is not converted. The difference between us and them is that the gene, the new birth, gives you the ability to understand the things of God. But without a birth, you cannot understand. The difference between us and them is God gives you. So the new birth is an ability. You say the ability to live right. That's what they used to teach because Brother Branham thought it was that way. So as long as they live right, believe. Can I say three things before I leave, Brother Louis? Three things. When you are taught the Holy Spirit wrong, you are either going to be a Baptist in the message, a Pentecostal, a Christian Science believer, or you're going to be a Pentecostal. This is the Baptist believer in the message. I believe the word, I believe the prophet, and I believe the message. Therefore, I believe, therefore I must be born again. I believe everything. Everything I believe. That's the Baptist. That's how they justify themselves, even the ministries. I believe. Then you have the Methodist. I believe and I live right. So I live right. Therefore, I must be a believer. I must have the Holy Ghost. Foolish virgin live right. But they ain't got no Holy Ghost. And that's how they justify themselves. He's a clean living minister. Oh, he's a fine man. He doesn't know much. It's like the dentist who doesn't know much. But he's a good man, a kind man, a sweet man. Would you go open up your mouth for him? You wouldn't go do it, would you? That's the Methodist. Then you have the Pentecostal. I saw the light and I prayed for this man and he got healed. Oh, signs and wonders. I feel the Spirit. They always got a testimony. God has to be doing something through them. These signs shall follow them that believe. Then the prophet said, oh, you see? He said this was the age of impersonation. He didn't even know that 1946 started the age of impersonation. It used to be the evidence and identification of the true church. But he didn't know because he himself started telling them so that they can impersonate him. And the angel said, you are the cause for all of this. So now the Pentecostal age could produce more Mark 16 than we ever could. I guess they must be believers. So they are believers because why? They pray for the sick. And they always want to pray. They always want a miracle. They always want a sign. They can care less about the unfolding of the word. That's the Pentecostals. Then you have the Christian Science in the message. Preachers and people. What's Christian Science? We love everybody. Oh, you just all that intellectual thing. Just love everybody. God is love. I love, love, love. I love the devil. I love Judas. I love everybody. Remember, the Baptists say, I believe. The Bible said the devil believes and is not saved. Amen. They can love more than God. Because they even love Judas. Love everybody. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is an ability that God gives you to understand the message of the hour, the theme of the age. And without that, you have no identification with the Spirit. That is why these truths that unfolds is only for the bride, even among you. For them that are born again, are given the ability to hear, to understand, and praise God. Thank you. God bless you. God cause His face to shine upon you. Give you much grace. Brother Louis, thank you.
Thank you, brothers. Appreciate the Lord this evening. Amen. We thank God for the Tony. Time is never enough. We really get into it. Okay, let's all stand together. Don't forget, on Sunday morning is our morning worship as well. Brother Tony will be with us. And on Sunday we'll be ordaining Brother Rev and Brother Roy as deacon, as trustees as well. Let's all stand together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Ask Pastor Cyril to close the service with a word of prayer.
Father, we are so grateful tonight for the truth that you have presented, Lord. You have opened the eyes of our understanding, and we are so appreciative for that, Lord. Let us be like Mary, ponder the things that we have heard tonight. Lord God, may we take it into our hearts, and Lord, just meditate that you will continue to give us eye and light and revelation. Thank you for the truth, Lord. Now as we are about to go to our respective places of abode, Lord, may you go with us, be with us, watch over us, protect us. We do not know what hour, Lord, you may call us home. Help us to be ready, O Father. Thank you one more time for this opportunity, Lord, to hear words that were spoken through the lips of your prophet many years ago. But Lord, tonight, they are more enlightening. They are more encouraging, Lord. They are more edifying. How we thank you, Lord, that you are very present help in the time of need. So thank you one more time, Lord, for your kindness and your love to us, that you have given us your truth and your word for this day and time. Father, forgive us one more time for our shortcomings. Lead and guide by thine Holy Spirit. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters. You may take your seats. Till we meet again, God be with you. Till we meet again.